As a hakira, meaning you're saying a dead person is cut up from mitzvah. Is that because he is currently dead, or is it because he has died? Right, that's the hakira that that Rav Elchanan wants to say. What's the nafkamina? Nafkamina is that, well, if you come back to life, right? If you come back to life, right? If it's because you died, then even when you come back to life, you're going to be cut up from mitzvah. But if it's because you are dead, you're going to one as you are dead. So anyways, how do we pashkin on that? So the Rav Elchanan suggests that from our Gemara, it seems like we passed like the first one. That mitzvah tails the us level means that even though you're going to be, even though you will one day be alive again, you will still be puzzled from mitzvah. To the point that he says here, there, you know, when is the mitzvah supposed to take place? So that's a big machlokes. Some say it would be after the Tzeit HaMashiach, meaning the Tzeit HaMashiach is still going to contain mitzvah. So when is Tziyas HaNesim such that the people who come back to life are going to be puter from mitzvah? So that could either be during the time of Mashiach or after the time of Mashiach. So many of you show around that Tziyas HaNesim would be after the time of Mashiach. You're going to be puter from mitzvah because everybody's going to be puter from mitzvah because time had already, will have already come to a close. So. But not everybody agrees to that. And we quote Rav Elchanan here in section Gimel. Actually, quotes the Rabbah saying that it might be different for different people. that Tzaddikim will come back earlier during the time of Mashiach and be able to benefit from the time of Mashiach, and others will come back later. Vatra Vachana says, even if you say they're coming back during the time of Mashiach, they will be Pater from Mitzvahs. They won't be tied to Mitzvahs anymore, based on our Gemara. Because otherwise, it wouldn't make sense that the body would rise and will right away be in violation of Shabbat. So let's assume that the Mitzvah's Pater of Nasa level is actually now the Pater. Now, he points out that this is a bit of a discussion in a Tosfos in Menachos. Bava Basra. Yeah, the Gemara Bava Basra. You want to take a look? Yeah. Very good. Right. So the truth is, there is a kakira. We spoke about the famous thing around Hanukkah time that people speak about, and that is Rav Chaim's question, where he asks that according to you, how exactly does the miracle of Hanukkah happen? Does the miracle of Hanukkah happen that the oil like didn't burn, like the oil just burned at 1/8 the rate it normally does, right? Perfected combustion. Or was it spontaneous regeneration, meaning it burnt out, and then the next morning it showed up and it was filled with oil again, right? So if you assume that spontaneous regeneration, says that would be oil, meaning it can't be spontaneous generation, because that which is created spontaneously, even though it might look like olive oil, and taste like olive oil, and smell like olive oil, and feel like olive oil, and burn like olive oil, says Rakhine, it's not olive oil. Right? It's God oil or something like that. Right? So maybe it's not real. You could suggest the same thing when it comes to Shabbat, that the body comes back to life. So the body's back to life. And now, whatever he was wearing disintegrated, but now it gets recreated. So it's getting recreated. So then that's not Shabbat, that's God wool and God linen or something, right? It's some other material, say, supernatural material, not the regular prohibition. Where there also makes a comment about the Gemara that somebody came back and was met some Arab in the desert, and the Arab said, "Hey, I want to show you something." He brought him to see. He showed him where the Mason, where the people died in the Midbar, right? Where he brought him to the burial grounds of those that died in the Midbar. So he said. How do we paskin with regards to tzitzis, or the two strings of four? He's like, oh, I didn't look. And they're like, ah, you worthless. Like, what was the point of going if you weren't going to see? Right, that's the Gemara over there. The Gemara there, but Tosfos points out, says, hey, wait a second. That means that the people were buried wearing tzitzis, right? So, by Piskei Mashma Hafashish, tzitzis mason, Orion Parakat Talis, Amr Shmuel, three cooks of Hayavim the tzitzis. There's the Tafrikin, Ahishasad Bada Ramilu, the kasha minushulam shinoagim lahatir. Right, so Tosfos there says that it seems like the minhag was to wear tzitzis based on the Gemara over there. And based, and why is it that our minhag is not to wear it? So mitaliso shel to remove the talit the tzitzis from the talit is amazing. So Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen Tzedek Perish. So Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen Tzedek, he's one of the Bali Tosfos. He explains that we must pass to like Rabbi Yochanan. Lamar mitzvos kotelos yasin lava. Vahidim minachos iri alidu b'shula. And that Gemara minachos, which talks about being buried with the tzitzis, that's talking about according to Shmuel. So Shmuel says that they're not bottle. But we pass it like Rabbi Yochanan, that they are going to be bottle, and not those other people. Therefore, it lines up, just as it would be mutter to bury them with Tachritim, we also bury them with the tzitzis cut off. Right? So that is a questionable thing. Are we familiar with this issue? This is like a famous... Yeah, Dan, you are? Have you been on the cover of the issue or something? Is that... They use it as part of the Tachrit, yes. So some suggest, and Rav Chanan here suggests, and this is one of the assertions, is that, well, you, that there might be an issue of Yuhara, of meaning what? That the concern is that the only people that are going, that could be that those that are, we mentioned before the issue of Tzitzim, those that are Tzitzim will come earlier, during the time of the Shiach, and those that aren't, so will come later. Coming earlier, so maybe those people would be tied to Tzitzim right away. In which case, you got to bury them with the Tzitzim. The only problem is that, well, wait a second, who decides who's who, right? You're saying, oh, the Tzitzim Shef, this is where everybody else should. Therefore, the minhag sort of, as the minhag has developed to Tafka to wear the talus is, and but to cut off the tzitzis. So there are different minhag. I thought that the minhag was to cut off the corner of the garment. Others assume that no, you actually cut off the tzitzis. I asked Rabbi, I asked the Shiva Rabbi Reiser today on this topic. He said that the minhag and a lot of the customary conditions is now to tuck away the tzitzis, which means that you haven't actually tackled them, you just sort of like tuck them away. And Dr. Abraham, I asked Dr. Abraham for coming here. Dr. Abraham said their minhag is that they tassel the tzitzis, but in an interesting way. They tassel them, the minhag here in Philadelphia is cut by the knot, right? By the leaf where it goes actually through the garment, right? So, right, where it actually goes through the garment, it's cut through the strings over here. So it actually stays on the garment. It looks like tzitzis. So, still like, if you look carefully, you'll see. But the tasseling sounds like you avoid doer, avoid saying that, oh, I'm one of these people that needs to have the still attack. So there is a famous little bit of a TV story with regards to the Noah Dome. The Noah Dome, apparently the story goes, this is quoting Aaron Chopra, but the story that told Moses Talmidim that he thought that he should be buried with his talmid. So he gave this Talmud instruction that please lose my tzitzis intact. And the story goes that when he was involved in the burial, preparing the building for the burial, and when it became time to put on the tzitzis, this guy had a stomach ailment, he had to run to the bathroom, or he fainted, different versions of the story. And by the time he came back, they had already cut off the tzitzis, and he said, but I have instructions. And they, and the people there took it as a sign from Shemayim that none of the tzitzis really is meant to be, and we're not going to change the at the funeral or while the care? Right, while they're there. Right, so that is the minute. It seems like you need to possibly from some particular way. So it seems like that lines up with just a lot about something. So I said to last week that I reached out to Rabbi Zone. He actually did call me back, but I missed the call when I called him back, and he didn't go yet. I did not get a hold of Rabbi Zone until before this year. But Dr. Abraham was pretty certain that nowadays, something, right? So there, you're allowed to sit on it. The rabbi, the rush is you sit on it directly. The rabbi says that you can't sit on it directly as long as it's separate. If it's not identifiable, but you still would not use, but everybody agrees, you would not be able to, like, use it to cover your clothing. It sounds like it's a less than Zeva. If, however, it is non-recognizable, so that's a problem, because then we're afraid you're going to forget your name. And also, he adds it, and by the way, you can't sell it to a non-Jew either, but he may go back and return it and sell it to you. That is one of the cigars that my dad put in his top to, in order to carry the weight. Right? You're not using the marzat to carry the zevel as much as your real purpose of using it is to protect your clothing. Right? You're just having a hat of the gaza. Your real kavanah is to protect your clothing. Zevel will be kept other based on how the zevel is alive. Similar to the prohibition later on in 15 days, that a person shouldn't hold use a shaftless garment in order to hold a hot egg, like as a privet. That's also considered to be like clothing. Plus, using it as protection for yourself, so that is a problem. However, against the series of the question of never seen this time, you consider never seen this time, and actually use the spoken out because that it is explicit. Right? So that's the sound. The fact is to say that it's a problem is like because you're wearing it. It's like wearing it because you're wearing it to protect your clothes. Using that as a horizon allude to this. The issue of the focus about the hat covering, right? So they don't really have any, like, trying to have a really big coat, a really big hood, probably to avoid the issue. But there's a dialogue, Shabbos, if there's no Eruv, are you allowed to wear those plastic things put on top of your hat, right? So that's what it appears to be, carrying on Shabbos. Why would I not? Why would I say it's not carrying on Shabbos? Like a garment. Then it's not a problem carrying your Shabbos, right? But if it's a garment, why are you wearing it? Are you wearing it to protect yourself, or are you wearing it to protect your hat, right? So this is a machlokes for Moshe and Mishnah Halacha, the Menashe Klein. So Moshe says, it's not there, right? It's not a garment. You're wearing it to protect your garment, and that's not considered to be a garment. I think in Nefesh Sharab, in chapter 12, they're saying that if it's only raining lightly, so then heavily, it's also to protect you at that point. So he says, you're allowed to wear it if it's a heavy rain, but not if it's a light rain. So apparently there's an actual client said that it would be closer because it's a, first of all, it's the most times carrying the leaves for a bottom, not the right, so that assumption, and then it is a type of clothing, and he says, it also is a hefsin meruba, right? Why is it a hefsin meruba? Right? Because it's protecting something that you need to wear, and otherwise, you might lose it or it might get ruined. So Ryzen points out that they're wearing different things. Right? Rebush is talking about a hat cover, where Menashe Klein is talking about a scribal cover, right? So a hat cover, A, is less expensive. It doesn't automatically get ruined in the rain, right? Scribals are much more expensive and will get ruined in the rain. And it's good that Hasidim take the importance of wearing them a lot more seriously. And students, Hasidim also might have much focus about what the status of the Eruv. My focus is going on. That's sort of a similar situation to this. If it's contesting a garment, that considered to be like the garment. It seems like a shot, but yes, that's what it would be like. It would be like on the sort of an actual client side, while the series of it would be on the reverse side. you're not allowed to sell it to a non-Jew unless he goes and sells it back to a Jew. Okay? That's the vineyard. Now, is that a rule across the board? Like, what is that? Where is that coming from? This halacha. Right? So what other, like, so what is it? The Gemara is asking, what's the principle of that halacha? What's the principle going on now? Right? If I say you're not allowed to sell chocolate to a guy because he may go and sell it to a Jew, so what's the issue?
Yeah.
Right, so there's sort of a listed eater thing, sort of a Maris Ayin thing. I mean, why does the Jew have it? So it must be that Yaakov has it, it must be Kasher. He sells to a guy because he's in Eastern Sale, so I can go ahead and buy it from the guy. Right? That's what is some kind of a shot, some kind of concern there. Now, right. So where does this stop? There seems to be a lot of areas where we do sell things to a guy that in order to avoid what we do, right? So that seems to come up all the time. So Dan right away is like, well, if you have trained animals, right? That's how the procurement market works, right? You have a Yeah, on site, you rip over the animal, see if it's straight or not. If it's not straight, it goes to the Jewish side. If it's not straight, if it is straight, then it goes to the guy side, and you're selling it to the guy. Now, the Jew thinks that's not exactly the case there. There, because the Jew doesn't own the animal, right? Most of these testing houses are actually non-Jewish owners. And so you're not selling it to the guy, you're leaving it, you're not buying it from the guy, right? So that's a little different. But yeah, certainly in Europe, if you went to Laser Wolf, right, you butcher Laser Wolf, right, Laser Wolf got a trained animal, and Laser Wolf was a trophy, hopefully it's just a bunch of kids still around the room. Come on, guys. What? Kind of hot, right, I'm not sure it would be the same, I don't know. The showcase, there is a cow showcase, actually, a position of cards. But either way, right? So if you went to a regular wolf and you got a trained animal, you would sell it to a non-Jew, right? That's how it works. So when is that a problem? When is it not a problem? How does it work? So that's sort of simply on a bit of a cafe. And this year that I found for my ride from the Hope of Sasses, he said, yeah, we covered this elsewhere, so we're just going to skip this. So it's hard for me to come to So, see, I wrote a little note there. So, right there, he says, whether this will work like that. There's a little thread pulled into a large thing, so you need to assume that that's a problem. So you see that it does. Really, you have a hard time with that. And he suggests that idea is only Dindor Bonus, not a Dindor right. That's what he wants to say. But he says, well, wait a second. Where it's underlined. He says, well, Lomar, the Hadassah, the Hadassah, no Batli, right? The fact that we say that three by three are not Batli is only Dindor Bonus, the cold Varm Hakashuvan, like all Dover of Batli. The low buckle, that are not buckle, that's only been there above them, right? The high akashala rasulatosis, the begit sha'avim bo'kalayim, isat, right? So that's a question according to the rasulatosis about a begit where kalayim was what? If you assume that the reason is rasulatosis is low buckle, it came in kantis in Torah, it's only this is there above them. Why should you not be able to sell it to a guy? Shem yikoren in Yisrael, a rehu, suffek there above them. The Nuzi of Yehuda makes a pretty big assumption here. He says that this issue of not selling things, that's only only by Isiri Dilraisa, not Isiri Durabana. Right? Why is that? He says, well, what's the issue? If you're concerned that it might be sold back to a Jew. So says Rav Chanan Yehuda, yeah, that's only a Safek. A Safek is a Jew Durabana, you have the right to be made. That's what he said. So he continues on and says, right? So he says, why does this Sif say if you can't sell it to a guy when it's only dealing with a Zinjur Bonham? That's the Rav Yehuda question. And he says, Vinei, Beitzas Nevela Vadai She'ina Asura Rak Zinjur Bonham. So this concept shows up in two other signatures. We'll get to. One of them is a Beitzas Nevela. The Gemara tells you in Sefer Shulim that if you have a Beitzas Nevela, is only Asur Nidra Bonham. Okay? Meaning, what's in the Beitzas? How does that work? What's a nevela? Right? Nevela is an animal that wasn't shechted appropriately. Right? So what does that mean? It means you have a dead, what will be a beitzas nevela, right? That means you have a dead chicken, right? And you open up the chicken and you find an egg in it. Right? So what's the status of that egg? Right? So you may recall we studied this about 11 years ago when we learned about the Kala, right? And the eggs are towards the beginning of a certain class of the Kala, right? And so probably a completed egg within an animal, within the chicken, is considered to be a regular egg, and technically part, but re-treated as flesh. So when Rabbi Nachman cooked him, when he does like his fancy dinners, his exotic dinners, and he advertises these flesh eggs, right, that's all he's talking about. He's talking about an egg that was found in the chef's chicken. Right? That part's not so exciting. But he says the vela is only if it's a drabana. Still, it's prohibited to sell to a guy, as we see in Yerodaya, to knowledge of the right? So same move to our shop. Aim low can be the vela to create for enough. So that's the way it's recorded. You can't sell a trefa egg or a nevela egg. Now a trefa egg is easier to understand. Well, what's a trefa egg? Right? You check the animal, you find out that it's a trefa, and then there's an egg inside of that. Right? So that would be the egg and the trefa. That's really nevela, which is only an issue for a bunch. So where does the Torah get that it baits us nevela, you're not allowed to sell a baits us nevela? I have another shown up right, the ain't welcome baits us trefel enough. Because if you look in the Gemara only talks about a baits us trefa and not a baits us nevela. And it takes two for the Kara. Okay, now Rosh, but if you, Shamakul, and the right to do, Rohiska baits us nevela. Never mentions nevela over there. He says, "In Kana Nitzima al Torah." I have a question: how do you put the two of them together? They're different. The egg of a trefa is an issur d'oraisa. The egg of a nevela is only an issur d'rabbanan. You're going to tell me through the Gemara in the Sefer Shulim says you're not allowed to sell a beitzas trefa. How can you just say, "Oh, it also applies to a beitzas nevela as well"? Right? That's not what the Gemara says. Therefore, the Nozav Yehuda says, "It says I think that this prohibition of selling things to Goyim that you're not allowed to eat." Right? It's only an issue when it's an issur d'oraisa, not an issur d'rabbanan. And therefore, the Nozav Yehuda says, and therefore I disagree with this din in Shulchan Aruch here in your day of Shemhalach, and I disagree with the way the Shulchan Aruch is set up in Teivah. Because, right, well, it's based on a misprint, right? Or not really a misprint, it's based on like an extension, which was never really meant to be done. Someplace along the way a word got added, that is not true. Right? If only it would apply by d'oraisa, it would not apply to. On the next page in the script, yes, right, it's a page from the Shiva Halevi. I picked up this copy of the Shiva Halevi this morning. They have a nice Shiva Halevi desk there. And if you look in the paragraph which begins with the words, so first of all, this is an issue with selling shakur. That's the issue of the tshuva. But he says in Inyan Limpur Lenachri, there, the second to last paragraph on the left side, or third to last paragraph on the left side, he says in Inyan, what about selling to a guy if it's kolayim d'oraisa, the Inyan Nikra Shakur, it's not recognizable. Halamavur Dino Bishas, right? So that halacha is found in the Gemara, the Nifsak of Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to sell it. And even Dirabanan,
Moshe Tiach al Das Hanal. In Lismuch, Amasha Nose, Amasha something, Amasha Nasa Venatan, the Node of Yehuda. Right? He says, I don't agree with what the Node of Yehuda says. I mean, you don't accept this Node of Yehuda that distinguishes between telling things that are in the right and telling things that are in the Hanan. Says Rav Wasner, no, it's across the board. And the truth is, that's what you find in Shulchan Aruch. And the truth is, that's also what you find in the Node of Yehuda itself. Right? The Node of Yehuda in Orachayim, the other one that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, right? So, that's already alright. But the Node of Yehuda also backtracks from this idea, right? If you look in the footnotes, in the source sheet here, on page, on the Gemara in Kulin, right, is this Gemara about the not selling the eggs, right? That if you have an egg, so you're not allowed to, you're not be allowed to sell it. And there, in Mokrin, if you've got seven lines into the Gemara itself, he says, in Mokrin beats us trefa, more than that, 10 lines into the Gemara, in Mokrin beats us trefa, this will be kufat. You're not allowed to sell a beats trefa to another kufat. And in case, unless it's already like mixed up. If you scramble it already and then sell it to the guy, that's okay. Why is that okay? Because a Jew is not allowed to buy a scrambled egg from a guy. I mean, the context of the sugya here is discussing whether there are simanim, whether you can look at an egg and tell whether it's from a trefa animal or not. So he says, yeah, it could in theory, but once it's scrambled, you no longer can tell. Right? So the Rishon points out, you can either do one way or the other. You either make it that you're not allowed to sell the scrambled egg to the guy, or you can make it that a Jew can't buy a scrambled egg from a guy. Right? So it opted for the first option. Right? You're allowed to sell a scrambled egg to the guy, you're not allowed to buy it from the guy. Okay, so but all that's mentioned here is the trefa egg, not the nevela. Somehow the nevela got put in at some later point. The other thing here, where this comes up, is somewhat surprising. So if you take a look on the next page, Mem Amadeus, so there it says, Ahu Arba Dechiti. Right, what is this? This is the Mem Amadeus, top of the line, top of the page, that you had an Arba, and Arba is like a boat that held a lot of stuff. What is the modern term? The barge, yes. There you go, barge. You have a barge that's holding wheat on it. Okay, you have wheat on the barge. Hatava the kishta, and then it sinks. Right? So you have this barge of wheat that sinks. Now, how does the wheat become coming as soon as it touches water? Maybe. Unclear, right? It needs to actually form. If it's closed wheat, it doesn't necessarily become coming. But we're not going to allow it. But the Gemara, now that you don't need that. But we did allow Sharya Rava Luzune Lenachim. Rava was permitted to sell it to Nachim. So Gemara asks, wait a second. Rava permitted them to sell it to Gaia. So Isay, Rava Bar Yoy Lerava. He says, wait a second, why is that allowed? Begish of a Bokalayim Hareza Loyim Kurema Lenachim. So you're not allowed to sell a shot of garbage to a Gaia, right? Unless clearly identified as being shakis. So this also shouldn't be so. I read Delon Karenal and Nakri. Velo Yasa Marda Lukamor, right? And you should sell to a Nakri. You're not allowed to sell make the saddle for a donkey. About also so technically, you play technically mix, right? The Gemara that we've told a few times already. So a Nakri might time a low. So Lavi Shun, the Hadar Muslim is strong. You're not concerned that he's going to sell it to a Jew. The Hadar Amarava, yeah, you're right. Lizvana Kava Kavali. Israel, he hates you to call you Kavi Kavi. Rava says, you're right. Tell it little by little to the Jews so that they'll be able to finish it before Pesach, right? So what does that seem like? It seems like Rava has come in and said, yeah, you're not allowed to sell these things to a guy. That is, right, you're not allowed to sell something to a guy prior to Pesach because people might think that, oh, if a Jew is selling it, it must be that it's kosher and you should go ahead and buy it. Now, this is like set up, when I read it, I'm like, wait a second, right? That seems to be a problem for us. Why? Because we sell all of our chametz to one guy, right? Doesn't that seem to be against this Gemara? So I opened up the Shulchan Aruch. I did not put a copy
does quote this to Halakha, but also the Mishnah says, yeah, but see what I wrote 20 simon earlier. 20 simon earlier, does that's where the sugya of how to sell coming to the giant appears. And the hector that they make is that if it's clear to the guy that he's not to sell it and that he would buy it back later on. It's interesting. But like, it's clear what the deal is, so therefore you don't be concerned that he's going to start selling things left to the Jew, and therefore it's okay. The other answer is that it's only if it's in carrots. Right? The issue with the wheat is that the wheat is not clearly coming yet, right? Because the wheat only becomes, like Laura talks about this, that the wheat has to start fermenting in order for it to be coming. So if it stays a whole kernel, so we might only say it's a pound of butter, we might not say it's a pound of rice. So that being the case, that is, so it would not be recognizable. But most of our comics that we are selling to a guy probably is recognizable as such, although nowadays we really know. So we know that in the case of hamburger buns, how do you really know? So that seems to be the way that it shakes out when it comes to that. But that's not a hector here. I mean, otherwise Rava would have said, oh, you're right, wait until Erev Pesach and then sell to a guy. The point is that the Jew could buy it on Pesach. Right? Flour is liquor on Pesach. Flour is not coming, right? You know, matzah is made of flour. Right? So we are knowing to be extra careful, we're not going to do it, whatever. But the maker did its liquor. To the point that actually this is, in the Pashas world, that flour is not considered to be coming to other level customers. To the supermarket, right after even the Jewish own supermarket, right, and go and buy a bag of flour that they had over Pesach, it's not considered to be coming to other level customers. So, anyways, so. The next one, page eight is the halacha in Simon Pevav, where he discusses the idea of the beitzas of the Avada. You see, Shulchan Aruch, it's a piece of in lokum beitzas nevela utrefa lo vidukavim, and the Piskei Tshuva here gets all upset, right? But this is actually where I think he backs down. This is the one that backs down. That the Piskei Tshuva here says yud beitzas ayim chus lo vidukavim kinyana chelik yirdei asosim kufeivav which is rashatema. It says, and where do we learn out Gambetis Nevelish Eno Us Element Urbanum? Vayim Sham, the Chelik Orachayim, but see Orachayim, Soap Simon Ayim. Shakasta Vuzibri Ham Mordechai, the Parak Kol Shah, that's what it was, Tav Shin, Kol Shah, meaning on the in Pesachim, there he says, right, the Hadarav of the Mesechus of Adar, the Pitan Shnachal Leim Chavita, the Tamra, talks about if you have wheat that wine fell on it and the wine wasn't kosher, that's also Myri B'yayin, that's not the Rabban, that's considered to be the Rabban. But yet still, Nifa makes sense, Ayin Shamba, Ayin Lekamah, meaning there's a couple of other sources where it does talk about this Isser applying even to Yisuri Durabban. Right, the last one is the last one, another one is the last one on the page here, and that is in the realm of Kas Palter. Right? So if somebody if Sif Yud Aleph, it says, Usser Kas Shal Yisrael Shenefa Obe Kachavim, Jewish bread that was baked by a guy, meaning it's actually real, not even Kas Palter, it's Kas Akrim, right, which might be Usser, right, which is, or someone who seems to be Usser. Why? Because they might go ahead and sell to a Jew. Now, this is totally durabana. This is completely a durabana issue. And yet, nevertheless, Shulchan Aruch is explicit. So, if you know that you do that first, you say, I think he's wrong, right? It's not in the Gemara, it's based on the Rishonim. I think they're wrong. I think it's based on a false premise. But at the end, they usually do that really back down, and it seems that it would be. The last page is from the
Yesha, and he discusses the issue of being a Jewish salesman and selling clothing that may or does contain shockers, right? Is that okay? And he, by the way, then flips in, says, oh, and by the way, what about checking for shockers, clothing that is usher to wear? Why would clothing be usher to wear? So he says, let's say it's a unsneeze outfit for a woman, right? Are you permitted to check shockers of a garment that is not sanua, or is being used for cross-dressing, right? And it's going to be used for an usher purpose. Are you allowed to be involved in the check? Okay. Lyle Cohen. Joel, do you hear the music in from your house?
I hear the music from my house.
Well, what's the rule in town?
I don't know. If the neighbors just don't complain, I guess it's okay. I'm on the victim side of it. I'm